Book of James. We're going to read our memory verse, and James chapter 1 and verse. Today's memory verse is verse 15, but we're going to start a few verses before. I'm glad to have a church that can handle hard preaching. Today will be a little harder, a little darker of a message. This is James chapter 1. We're going to turn to three passages today for the most part. James chapter 1. So we're going to, sometimes we have a lot of fun and laugh a lot. Today we won't laugh a lot with this message, more of a serious message. And James 1 and verse 13, we're going to preach today, and sin when it is finished. And sin when it is finished. James 1 verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We're not good many times at looking at the end of things. We look at the beginning. That's why we're in debt so much. That's why personally and nationally and everything else, they just look and see shiny things, and they say, I can afford it. I can have a credit card. They're not thinking about how long it takes to pay off. That's why a lot of mistakes are made. That's why we have children with missing parents. The parents aren't there for them. That's why we have family problems. A lot of it's just not thinking at the end. They just think of the moment. And the Bible says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's not something that we would want. I'm going to be back in the book of Romans. Book of Romans, go backward from James's several books. Book of Romans, and I'm going to be in chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 6 and verse 20. For when we were the servants of sin, Romans chapter 6 verse 20, you were free from righteousness. By the way, don't make a mistake about this. You aren't having fun and using sin to have fun. You are the slave of sin. When you start sinning, when you go into sin, you it's got you in its grasp. It's just tickling you while you're in its grasp. Yeah. But eventually it's not going to tickle you anymore. And you're going to want to get free, and you're going to find out, hey, this I thought this was all fun, but let me go. And it's going to say, no. Those who were in, you, when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You couldn't do right. But what fruit have you in those things whereof you are now ashamed? And by the way, if you're not ashamed of your old life, better check your conversion. Because the Bible says when you come to Christ, you're a new creature. Your old life looks bad and sinful, and you're ashamed of it. And I got lots of things I'm ashamed of. Thank God that Christ forgives us. For the end of those things is death. There's the end of sin is death again. But now being made free from sin, you become the servants to God. God set you free. Now you're his servants. And you have your fruit into holiness in the end, everlasting life. A little different though. God keeps you by willingness. God said, I want you to love me and serve me. But he'll let you go. If you want to go away from God, God will let you go away from him. You have that free will. Sin doesn't do that. Because sin's not kind. Sin says, serve me and I'll give you fun. And when it turns into emptiness and rot and death, you want to get away from sin. Sin grabs you and says, no, you cannot go away until Christ sets you free. Because sin is different than God. God is a God of free will. And so the end of those things is death. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Can you imagine you go to a job interview and they say, okay, this is your things you'll be doing, and I'm interviewing you and this and that. And you say, so can I ask, what's the wages here? And they say, death. Get paid every 2 weeks. The wages of sin, what you get paid, your wages with sin is death. Death. Sid said, sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. The end of those things, it says, is death. The wages of sin is death. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. all the way at the start of the Bible. Genesis chapter 2. If that were the case, there are certain people we would send to go apply. We wouldn't, because we're not spiteful anymore, are we? Amen. Those are things we're ashamed of now. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. God made man to work. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Notice God gives freedom. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So when you eat this tree, you're going to die. Now he says you can eat every tree in the garden. I want you to understand that the Christian life is a life of freedom. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Every politician, every business, they all quote the verse. The verse is talking about when you follow the words of Jesus. And you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the Bible, then it says, and if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. They're in the Garden of Eden, paradise. They can eat any tree of the garden, just one they couldn't eat. And that's the Christian life. Most things in life you can do and have a wonderful life. And by the way, you'll have a better marriage, you'll have a better life, you'll have better finances, your life will be better because you're following principles at work. You are free to have a great life serving God, let alone for eternity. You might have hardships in this life. But it's a life of freedom. You're not in bondage to sin. Before I came to Christ, I was addicted to a couple different things. I'm free now. I'm not addicted to anything. Not addicted to a thing. And so the good thing is Christ sets you free. Although the devil twists it around. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. The devil twists it around. The devil came to Eve and said, you can't eat of all the trees of the garden, can you? And he says, wait, God said there's only one I couldn't eat of. I can eat of all of them, just not one. But the devil will come to you and say, you can't do this. You can't do this. Story that reminds me of that more than anything else is a kid named Ricky on the bus in Chicago, south side of Chicago, riding me on the bus and telling me, you guys can't do anything fun. This kid is in the gangs, bad, bad kid, rough kid. Told me, you can't do anything. He was riding the bus with us. I don't know why he ever came to church. You guys can't do anything. You guys can't do anything. You can't go get drunk. Can't go get high. Can't mess around with the girls. Can't do this. We're single guys riding the bus. He's serving a life sentence right now. And for murder. And by the way, shot the wrong person. And I'm free. And I got a wife. He ain't got a wife in prison. It ain't a woman. And who's free? Who's free? The devil always makes freedom look like bondage and bondage look like freedom. The devil's good at that. Christian life is awesome. But the devil tries to make it look like a miserable life. And that's not the way it is. The end of those things is death. And the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Let's pray. Father, we're going to learn about sin today, and it's been painted wrong. The television and entertainment and music makes it look entertaining and fun. They show the video of the guy, the thug, dancing around with beautiful women. They don't show him in prison or dead or shot 2 years later. Lord, it's all a false facade. When you walk in the building, it looks beautiful on the outside. You go into a black, burnt-out, charred building of sin. Lord, help us not to be deceived. Help us to come out and see the wickedness of sin, the wrong of sin, the end of sin, and to see it in clarity and not be deceived. Lord, help us to renew our minds. May your Spirit speak to our hearts. May any of us who've been dabbling too much in death, in sin, may we stay away from it. May we understand the dangers of it. May we get away from it. For the end of those things is death. Speak to our hearts. Give us your wisdom in these things and speak to us through the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. Paradise. There was no pain. It wasn't that hard of gardening because it didn't even rain. A mist came up every morning and watered everything. The animals were all around, not carnivorous. They were kind. They were nice. It was paradise. You couldn't die if you wanted to. The lion would walk up and jump on you and lick your face. and the animals were all around you, and they were, everything was perfect, paradise, peaceful. And a certain time every day, God would walk there in the garden. Jesus would come down and walk with Adam and Eve, and they'd take a walk in the fullness of joy in his and pleasures forevermore. With God's presence, his fullness of joy. And they'd walk through this garden and look at this plant, and there's that lion, there's the elephant I named, and there's the giraffe, and they would walk around in paradise. They could not feel any better. When you're driving away to vacation for your perfect vacation day, when everything's done and everything's good and it's a beautiful day and you're ready to, it is not a 1/1000th of how good they felt every day. And God said, one rule, in the middle of the garden, there's one tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat it. One day, Eve comes, Satan talks to her and says, you're not free, you can be like God, and you can eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you won't die. God's lying to you. They took a bite, she took a bite, went to her husband, got him to take a bite. Their eyes were opened. They saw they were naked. They became ashamed. And then the voice of God calls, Adam, where are you, Adam? And God's walking around looking for his friend that he liked to be with and walk with. And he walks and says, Adam, where are you? Adam! But Adam's hiding from God. Adam's hiding from God. Adam and Eve had tried to cover up their nakedness by sewing together fig leaves, and they're hiding back in the bushes. And finally Adam says, God, I'm hiding behind the bushes because we're naked and we're ashamed. He says, who told you you're naked? Did you eat that tree? God knew the answer, by the way. By the way, God called to Adam, wanted Adam to answer. Why did God do that? God knew where Adam was. God knew he'd eaten it already. God knew he's hiding behind the bush. God's omniscient. He wanted confession. He wanted him to come and admit it. See, it means a lot more when your child comes to you and says, Mom and Dad, I have to tell you the truth. I stole the candy at the store. Then when you go and find the candy, everybody's sorry after you catch them. But actually, usually they're sorry they got caught. But he wanted Adam and Eve to confess. He wanted them to admit it. He wanted them to go and admit they messed up. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse them all in righteousness. God is not often in the business of chasing you down, but simply convicting you and drawing you. He'll go seek you out, but he's not going to drag you back by your ear. God wants you to say, I need you, God. I did wrong. And by the way, we just found that people aren't repentant. They come back to church when they go and mess up and sin. If they're not repentant, they're not going to stay at church very long. I need a godly sorrow work with repentance to salvation. And it does that. And God begins to tell them the result of your sin. And sin has a bunch of consequences. Paradise was lost. And in the end, God gives a bunch of curses, a bunch of punishments that come along with sin. A whole bunch of things happen. And God says, out. Where are we going? You're going out of the Garden of Eden. What's out there? Not as good a place. And they get out and they turn around and look back at the garden. And there's this flaming sword behind them. And they try to go back to the garden. The flaming sword comes and cuts them off. And God put an angel and a flaming sword and says, do not let them back in. Why? Because in the garden was a tree called the Tree of Life that when you eat it, you live forever. And God did not want them to live forever in a sinful state. They were now sin fallen. They were now messed up. They were now hurt and ruined and messed up. And so God would not let them in back in the garden. And now they go out and say, this place is hot out here. And my feet are hurting on the ground. What is this pain thing? And what are we going to eat? And those animals, it's kind of looking hungry. And he's looking at me. And they begin a struggle called life. There's some results of sin. Let me just give you a few of these results. Number one, sin brings shame. Sin brings shame. In Genesis chapter 3, and we see in verse 7, it says, the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam said to his wife, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called them Adam, and he said unto them, where art thou? And then he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. Notice they were hiding. A couple things about here. First of all, they weren't naked anymore. However, the covering wasn't enough. So there's a lot of doctrine here in this passage. In the Bible, your salvation is talked about your clothing as your clothing. You wear salvation. And it's talked about in many different places, in many different ways. It's in 2 Corinthians, it's in Daniel, it's in a lot of places. And you have a covering of salvation. The Bible says in Revelation that the saints are covered with pure white. And that is the righteousness of the saints. Well, that covering that they had was from the earth. It was leaves. You're going to find a sacrifice a little farther later if you go forth and go to Genesis chapter 4. And verse 3, it says, in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought forth of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. Where did Cain's offering come from? The ground. And Abel brought forth offerings to the flock. What did he do? He killed an animal. One came from the ground, one killed an animal. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, the one that came from the dead animal. Now, you're going to find out that Adam and Eve brought theirs forth from a plant from the ground. But you can't get salvation. You cannot get your covering from the earth. You have to get it from death of something living. God makes him cover it in a moment, and he gives him a different covering. Verse 21, and unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Where do you get coats of skin from? Animals. God sacrificed animals in the first sign of the cross. He sacrificed animals because death had to happen to cover you to give you salvation. Their covering is insufficient because it came from the earth, just like Abel's did. And Abel's was rejected, and theirs was rejected. They knew it was rejected, and they knew they weren't covered well enough. That's why those people who get their salvation from themselves, from the church, from their good life, from baptism, anywhere but from death and a sacrifice, they never know if they're going to heaven. Why? Because their salvation is from the earth, and they know it's not a good enough covering. I'm going to live a good life. I'm going to get to heaven. That's salvation of the earth. It's rejected by God. I've been baptized and been confirmed. That's salvation of the earth, and it will not cover you, and it won't give you salvation, and it will not be enough. I'm going to get it from my church. I'm getting it from my religion. That's salvation of the earth. It doesn't cover you. I'm just a good person. That's salvation of the earth. It doesn't cover you. There has to be a sacrifice of something living, because the wages of sin is death. Something has to die because you have sinned. Fortunately, God made one sacrifice once for all, because it was the Son of God. It could be death for all mankind. And he, because of his power and because he's God, he could suffer death and clothe everybody with his righteousness. But he has to die for you. Any other covering, it's not enough. You won't go to heaven. One covering's enough, the death of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And God slew his only begotten Son in death to give all of us life. A salvation from a sacrifice. And so we see this happening. And so we see immediately the first thing is it brings shame. They wanted to cover themselves. They knew that they were guilty. They knew they did wrong. They knew something was not right. And I want to say this. Sin is a shameful life. It's an embarrassed life. It's a hiding life. It's a turning, it's hiding it from everybody. It's a deceitful life. And woe unto you people who have these secret lives, because you're ashamed. To those who delete their history on their computer, by the way, because they're ashamed. To those who have relationships and people outside of their marriage, and it's a shame. Bible says that it's shame even to speak of some things. There is shame with sin. Sin is wrong. Sin is wicked. And you ought to be ashamed of yourself sometimes. I'm ashamed of myself sometimes. And if you lose that shame, you're in big trouble. Because the Bible says your conscience has been seared with a hot iron, and your nerves of your soul have been burned off. because you're not ashamed anymore. You don't blush anymore. Sin, it brings shame. Sin brings embarrassment. Sin brings hiding from God. I want to say that. When you, somebody once said about the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Because when you start living in sin, you start getting ashamed. And one of two things happen. You go to God and say, Lord, I'm ashamed. I'm sorry I sinned. And you get right with God and you're clean and white as snow. Or you begin to hide from God, because God and sin don't dwell together. They are magnets in opposite directions and they're repelling each other. And you can flip that magnet around and get right with God and you'll be attracted to God again. Or you can keep it that way and you'll be repelled from God and run from God because of your shame. And you'll be surprised, if you let sin dwell in your life, you won't like church anymore. You won't want to be here. And those who are godly, whether it's your mama, whether it's your best friend, whoever it is who's godly, you will find suddenly you don't like them anymore. You don't want to be around them. I will turn the dime, you'll find. I suddenly will be a bad guy that you don't want to be around. You won't answer your door when I knock on your door. Or when I call you, you won't answer your phone because you're ashamed. Because God is with those people, and God is, and you don't want to be ashamed in the presence of God. And when you all of a sudden don't want to read the Bible, and all of a sudden don't want to go to church, and all of a sudden don't want to be around godly people, understand you don't want to go pray, it's because you're ashamed of it. And you could say, it's okay, it's fine, I had a reason to do that, or it's just what I do, or it's my family does this, or you know what, I couldn't resist it, or everybody's doing it. Whatever you say, it won't matter, because somewhere in your soul, there's shame that comes with sin. There's guilt. There's humiliation. There's, Jesus didn't deserve me to do that to him. There is shame that comes with sin. They are hiding from God, who wants to walk with them. They're hiding from God. God never had any animosity, even when they sinned. As a matter of fact, first thing he says to them when he's talking about what's going to happen, he says, woman, you're going to bring forth a seed, a child someday that's going to destroy Satan. He didn't say it to Adam. Why? Because Adam, Jesus didn't come from Adam. God was his father. He said to the woman, woman, thy seed shall crush the serpent's head. Why? Because he'd be virgin born and there would be no dad. He said the seed of woman, not the seed of man. Because it's going to be from a virgin. And he immediately began talking about, and he somehow, God in his all wisdom, said they sinned, they did wrong, I'm going to have Jesus come and die for them because I love them. My son's going to die for them. He made the whole plan of salvation in love. Instantly. Because he loved them. And he was not, no animosity, but they were hiding from him. Don't hide from God. God does not want you to not be with him. If you have sin, God wants to forgive you. God wants to be right with you, and all you have to do is confess it to him. But sin brings shame. Don't do things you have to hang your head about. I heard a guy one time talking about how his mom told him one time, she brought a picture of the newspaper out, and there was some criminal, and he was ducking his head like this while he's being walked by the police. And she says, boy, don't you ever do anything where you have to hang your head like that so nobody can take your picture. Don't bring shame in your life. Don't do things you'd be embarrassed of. Just do things that God would be pleased with and you're not embarrassed of. Number two, sin brings a separation from the Lord. Sin brings a separation from the Lord. Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep away the tree of life. This is sad. Very sad. God who walked with them, God who spent time with them, God who liked being with them, it says the phrases here, God drove them out of the Garden of Eden. Go! Out! 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 Get out! Out! And they were out of the presence of God. See, God's a holy God. It says God is too holy as to behold iniquity. Heaven is perfect. God does not sit here and look at sin. Sin is abhorrent to him. There are certain things you can't look at or hear or listen to. You can't stand it. Chalkboard scratching or terrible crimes or hearing terrible, atrocious things that happen to children, whatever it is. You just say, I can't stand it. Stop. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. Whatever it is. God is like that with all sin. And if you have any sin when you die, sin, God says, you cannot come into heaven with sin. Not one. The wages of sin is death. Not murder, not bad sins, not the worst sins, not terrible sins, not a bunch of sins. The wages of sin is death. One sin's too many. You eat the tree of the garden, that's sin, can't be with me anymore. It separates you from God. And Jeremiah says, your iniquities have separated you from me. Sin, listen, if you're not close to God, it's not because God moved. I'm the Lord, I change not. But there will be a gulf, a distance between you and God. I want to say this. God doesn't move. I'm the Lord, I change not. But sin just gets you away from God, and God cannot have sin in his presence. You cannot go to heaven if you have any sin. You cannot be in God's presence. And sin, and if you're full of sin and you're living in sin and you're not confessing your sin, God is distant from you. Now, he'll never leave you if you're saved. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But you're in his relationship will be very distant. You ever been around somebody? You ever been in the same house as somebody where you weren't getting along? And though you're in the same house, you were very distant? I mean, you acted like they weren't even there. God says when you sin, sin makes you and I separated. You can't be my presence anymore, Adam. You're going to have to die. And I'm going to have to give you salvation. We have to give you a new body because that body is now corrupt. You're going to have to die and come back to me someday later after my son gives you a sacrifice. We're separated. Sin separates you from God. You can act like me and God are so close. And I hear this stuff all the time where people are living with the things of the world. They're living together and they're not married, or they're going out and living immorally and doing a bunch of bad things. They're out drinking or committing adultery or whatever they're doing. They're doing a bunch of bad things, watching vile things on TV and the internet, or being nasty to people and not loving their neighbors or self. But they say, oh no, me and God got it all worked out. We're just fine. No, you're not. You can make it up your own religion there and say whatever you want, but iniquity separates you and God's distant from you. When you confess your sins, he's merciful, he'll come back to you. But sin separates you and God. And it gets you distant from God. If you're saved, he stays in your heart. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's still in the house, but he's saying, you're not even here. When you're ready to get this right, we'll talk, but you know, we're not close. Don't crawl. Don't go crawl in the chair with me here. We have something between us. He's the same God who's very merciful and forgive you. But understand, sin has its consequences. Number three, sin brings consequences on earth. Sin brings consequences on earth. Chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, unto the woman I say, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thou shalt, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Here's a bunch of curses for the woman. First of all, having kids is really going to hurt now. And it hurt bad enough my wife squeezing my hand in that room. She felt sorry for me. She said, woman, don't you know how bad you're squeezing my hand? No, I didn't do that. She would find a way to kill me from a delivery room. But you know what? It says the childbearing is going to be tough. It's going to be brutal. It says you're going to have sorrow. In sorrow, you'll bring forth children. Your desire will be to your husband, and he'll be the boss. You have to submit to him now. And woman, every time you have to say okay when your husband says something and you have to submit to him, it wasn't like that in the original. You can thank Eve. She's going to get beat up when these people get to heaven. I tell you what, after having a baby and all that, I'm going to greatly multiply. And twice he said, you're going to have great sorrow. She never knew what sorrow was, ever, in the Garden of Eden. Unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree, which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow, there's a word again, thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till the return of the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, and dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. Adam, first of all, the ground is cursed. all of creation. Remember how it just, the mist just came up? Remember how the plant just grew so naturally? Remember how sweet and pleasant everything was, every plant was? Now there's going to be thorn bushes and sticker bushes. Now there's going to be blackberry bushes. And you can never get them out of your yard. And now there's going to be the ground. You should just bring out all the plants for life. Now you're going to have to plow that ground. And it's going to fight you. And you're going to sweat. And all the days of your life are in sorrow trying to find food for your family. And work is going to be hard. And life is going to be hard. The whole creation is cursed. And you're going to die. Consequences. There was no death before now. Adam would have lived for, he would still be alive for trillions of years. He would never have died. Eve would never have died. The animals wouldn't have died. The plants wouldn't have died. There would have been, going to work would have been joy. They would have walked with God forever. And there is all these consequences. And the Bible says in Romans 8, all of creation is groaning, waiting for the world to be fixed because it's all messed up in sorrow. The animals have babies in sorrow. Bad things happen. Things get devoured. The animals turn carnivorous. Everything went wrong. The world has volcanoes. The world has floods. The world has earthquakes. The world is cursed. Life is hard. It is dandelions grow better than carrots. The world is cursed. And it's a world of sorrow. That's a consequence of sin. Eve was going to be cursed with sorrow. Adam was cursed with sorrow and sweat and pain and death. Creation was cursed. Now came family consequences. They had kids. And God told them to be fruitful and multiply. God wanted them to have kids. But these kids were all of a sudden born with a new nature called a sin nature that wasn't there before. And one made an offering and God accepted it. The other one didn't. The other one got mad and got jealous and came upon him in the field and killed him. And one day they said, what happened to our other kid? And Adam and Eve were like, where's our child? And the other one had to leave the area. And God said, he's dead. And God, they said, what's dead? It's kind of hard to explain. He doesn't see and breathe and eat, and he's not here anymore. Why? Because you ate the tree. And death came. Bible says death came by sin. And now your child has a fallen nature and killed his other child. Never happened, Adam and Eve, if you wouldn't have eaten the tree. See, because when you bring sin into your life, I want to say it, the consequence goes down to your children. I don't want that consequence. I'll tell them not to do it. Sin has consequences. You live for God, your children are blessed after you, the Bible says. You live a wicked life, you're going to watch your kids find, the Bible says, the way of a transgressor is hard. And you don't want consequences, family consequences. Probably said, what if we wouldn't have eaten that tree? We'd still have both Cain and Abel. And boy, I wouldn't be hurting. If the world would be different. If we would think as people of our children and grandchildren that come after us, what's going to happen and the consequences of our sin, it would be different. And I want to understand this. A very important thing, because a lot of people are mad at God and bitter at God because there's very reason they don't understand this about the Bible. Well, if there's a really good God, why is the world so messed up? Why do bad things happen to good people? Because sin came. God did not make the world like this. God did not want one person to die. God did not want one person to have one bad thing, but it did not lock man and woman in a cage and said, you cannot choose anything. He gave this thing called free will because he did not make us robots and lock us in a cage and says, you cannot choose. He said, you can choose. Here's really easy. Here's a paradise. Just don't eat one tree. You got lots of trees to eat from. One tree. They messed it up. The world became cursed. Now, there's an earthquake. Why do you got a lot of the earthquake? Because there's tectonic plates. Because the world's cursed. And bad things are going to happen. Bible says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. This life is a life of sorrow. You serve God, it's still a life of sorrow. If you serve God and you go plow a field, it's still hard. Because the world's cursed. You know what? If a woman serves God and is godly, I've been in the delivery room 7 times for a godly woman having children. And none of those times did she say, this is such a blessing. No problem. I'm godly. No. The curse is passed on to all mankind. It's a hard life. Now, with God's blessing, it's easier, and you got heaven where it'll all be fixed. But understand, this is a cursed world. Fires and rape and death and destruction all came with sin, not with God's will. The good thing is, God says, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. If this life is all you look at, God will not be a good God. God makes it up in billions and trillions and for eternity. He makes it all up. He blesses and takes care of those things. But don't expect this life to be a bed of roses. Do you not watch the news? Have you not been watching since you were born? Mankind, it gets selfish from birth. One toy, two babies. Watch what happens. You don't even have to train them. You don't say, let me teach you how to sin. It's built in. It's standard on every model. And they have it. It's natural. Mankind is cursed. Mankind is a free will. We're on a world that is cursed where bad things happen. You're going to get old. Your body's going to start creaking. Your body's going to need warmed up as you're getting out of bed. You're going to have problems. You can be as godly as you want to be. And suddenly, you're going to find out, do you have muscles you didn't know about? Because the world's cursed. It's the curse of sin. It's not God's will. God has not designed this world messed up like it is. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that in the end, he's going to come back. He's going to fix this world. He's going to heal this world. And for 1,000 years, the lion will lay down at the lamb again. And there will be no more war. And no more troubles and trials. And God's going to say, look what it had been like. And then he's going to melt all the whole universe, 2 Peter 3 says. And he's going to melt it with fervent heat where the elements melt. And he's going to make a new heaven, a new earth. And there's no more sin there. And it's perfect and paradise forever. And there'll never be another problem, never another death, never another earthquake, never another person's heart getting broken, never another miscarriage. Nothing wrong will ever happen again. It'll be paradise forever in heaven because God's going to fix the curse. But this is a sin-cursed world. Make no mistake. Don't blame God. Don't blame God. Do not blame God. He did not want it this way, and he's going to fix it, and you'll be a part of paradise forever if you'll be saved and serve him. It brings consequences on earth, lots of consequences. Number next, sin brings death. Genesis chapter 5, and verse 5. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Can you imagine? Let's read verse 8. And the days of Seth were 912 years. Read that with me. Ready? And he died. Verse 11. And all the days of Enos were 905 years. And he died. Verse 14. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years. And he died. So one day, I think Adam was going and getting a little older, and he said, man, my knee is aching. What is this? Why does this hurt? And his hair started getting a little gray. And she said, why is your hair turning different colors? And he looks at her and says, you know, you're looking different than you used to look, Eve. The first rolling pin. And they began to go around, and pretty soon, he started working real hard, and he started having his chest and his pain. Pain in his chest. And he's like, oh, man. Pretty soon, things started changing in his body and her body. And one day, Eve went to wake Adam up, and Adam wouldn't wake up. And I wonder if this is what happened to my son when his brother slew him. Why? Because death came. And the wages of sin is death. Sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. There's another death in Genesis chapter 2. But look what's interesting here. Genesis chapter 2, and we'll go back to verse 17. It says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Whatever God says is true. God says, in the day that you eat this tree, you're going to die. wait a minute, Adam lived 900 and something years old. People used to live a lot longer before God changed man. They lived too long. He wanted them to live. He went down to 120, then he went down to 70. Wait a minute. It says in the day that Adam ate it, he would die. Did Adam die that day? No, God drove him out of the garden. He had kids. He lived 900 years. But he died. Because there's two deaths in the Bible. There's a physical death. That's the one we're most familiar with. But there's a spiritual death. He instantly died spiritually. Romans 7, 9 says, sin revived and I died. Ephesians 2, 1 says, ye who are dead in trespasses and sin. Ezekiel 18, 4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Revelation 21, 8. It says this, but adulterers and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Man is a three-part creature, body, soul, and spirit. The second Adam and Eve ate that fruit, their spirit died. And they're spiritually dead. They were going to hell. The second death is the lake of fire and brimstone. They had sin separating them and God, and they spiritually died. The first time you sin in your life, whether you're 4 or 5 or 6, or 2, the first time you know sin and you know what sin is and you understand willingly disobedience to God and you sin, you instantly are spiritually dead. That's why man must be born again, because he's spiritually dead. And we're all spiritually dead until we're born again. And that's why you cannot go into the kingdom of God unless you're born again, Jesus said, because we're spiritually dead. See, sin brings death physically. Yes, it does. Yet sin also brings spiritual death, which is called the lake of fire, brimstone, hell. Sin brings hell. Without Christ saving you, your sin will send you to an eternal fiery hell. And so will mine. That's what sin does. It brings forth. Now, sin is not a joke. Sin is not something to be trifled with. Sin shouldn't be watched and entertaining you. You shouldn't listen to songs to talk about sinful things. You shouldn't hang around a group of people who are doing a lot of sinning. Sin is not something to be trifled with. It's not something you jump in and out of. It's dangerous. It grabs you. I've watched sin reap destruction in many situations. How many times have I been and seen sin bring death? Now, everybody's going to die. And don't say that person died. It must have been because of their sin. Not always. It's because they're on earth. And sin brings death. And we all are going to die. It might be 5 or 15 or 50 or 500. I don't know. We're all going to die at some point because of sin. But I've watched directly sin kill people. I was with friends partying one time. We were skipping school and partying one time. And we were in Kenema down in Oregon. And we were all drinking. And two of the guys went back to go buy some more alcohol. And they weren't far from us. They were taking off. And they were driving, flying down the road drunk. And all of a sudden, we heard a car crash. We ran over there. Their car was upside down in the river, little Pontiac Fiero, and they weren't in the car anymore. Just 17 years old. We tried to find them. We were all going down the river trying to find them. We're all drunk and stumbling in the river. Eventually, we found one of them, and I saw his body with his head ripped off. Then I grabbed his girlfriend, who's coming to see what everybody's looking at, had to drag her away before she saw his body with his head ripped off. I threw up for about 2 hours straight because of sin. I've been in the emergency room at Harborview. I've been in emergency rooms here. I've sat there when they've OD'd and watched them as their seizures are happening and as the family is hoping they're going to live, and the family walks out and I look at the nurse and I said, they're going to make it. No. I've seen direct sin bring death, and it's atrocious, but in the end, for anybody who's not saved, they're spiritually dead. They're dead in trespasses and sin, and it brings hell forever. Sin is not silly, it's not funny, it's not entertaining. It sent our Savior to the cross. Thank God, the good news is, though sin's very powerful and brings all these consequences, every single one of them is undone by the grace of God. Jesus has the keys to hell and of death. And in the end, it says he throws death into the lake of fire, and death will be no more there. And sin can't have dominion over us because we have Jesus Christ in our hearts. And the curse of sin and spiritual death is taken away when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. And though our bodies die because Jesus came and died and was raised from the dead, we get eternal bodies that will never die again. See, the death thing is very powerful to us, but to God, it's all conquered. And if you stay with God and live the Bible and are born again and follow God, death does not have dominion over you. Thank God. Death is very powerful, not to be messed with. But do not get out of the grace and jump into the sinful life and expect not to get burnt. It's going to get you. It's going to have consequences. It's going to affect you, your children, your family, your health. It's going to affect you. Sin brings death, and it is not to be trifled with. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I want you today to have a good, healthy abhorrence to sin. Don't laugh about it. Don't chuckle about it. Don't make jokes about it. It's serious. And it's dangerous. And it should be stayed a mile from and kept close to God. Because you know what? Sin can't keep you from God anymore. You can still be with God and have paradise returned through Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. A lot of consequences for sin, Father. I've seen still story after story of death. People dying because of sin. I talked about that country music singer, blew her brains out. But a bunch of sin had come in her life, and addictions. And she had immorality in her life. And the poor girl, Lord, if somebody had met her and brought her to Christ, she could have had peace and joy. It's just the world we live in, Father. Sin makes people miserable. It makes them hopeless. It offers everything and then takes everything away. It always costs more than it advertises. It takes him farther than it says it's going to take us. And then won't let us go when we want to be set free. Thank you for the power of Jesus Christ. Thank you. We can be set free through Jesus Christ. Thank you. The Son can make us free from all the curse of sin. But Lord, help us not to be set free in salvation and then enter back into a sinful life and hang around sin and be around it. Or Lord, help us to stay far away and abhor that which is evil. Help us to get a good, healthy abhorrence like you have of sin. And not get separate in that relationship from you. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to fix this cursed world that sin brings upon it. Thank you, Lord, that we know that a society might become more sinful, and because it becomes more sinful, it becomes more heartbreaking. But you're going to fix that. Thank you, you can do all this, Lord. Help us to follow you and stay far away from sin that's done so much destruction. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.